This evening we will study together Luke chapter 12, from verse 15 all the way through to verse 21. We will begin reading from verse 15 to verse 21. Verse 15. And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Verse 17. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich towards God. Amen. Now, my dearly beloved, tonight we will be studying a very important issue, that as we live our life, we must remember that we must live every single part of our life and the time that we spend all in the name of Jesus. Otherwise, we will be what we call born losers. Now, there are many, many people in this world that only calculate and invest all of their time for just the temporal. It is very sad to note that they do not realize that there is eternal life simply because they do not believe in Jesus. However, our Lord Jesus tells us that we must, number one, be very cautious of covetousness simply because covetousness is a sin that is never ending. In other words, you can be used by the power of darkness to continue falling into the trap of greed and laboring just for the sake of getting more and more and more, when in actual fact, when you leave this world, you cannot even carry one penny with you. For that reason, the Apostle Paul tells us through his words, For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall unto temptations and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now, my dearly beloved, we know that we come with nothing, and it is definite we live with nothing. And so the problem is this. It is in our human nature, the fallen nature of man, that we tend to be covetous. We tend to be greedy, and we want to get things more and more and more, and never could be satisfied. For that reason, let's read together from verse 15 again. And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Just like I mentioned earlier, pretty much most people have fallen into the area of covetousness. It is simply because it is in our carnal nature to keep on wanting more and more and more, and will never be satisfied. And the whole paradox is this. The more we try to get, the more hungrier we get. Simply because the Lord God, when he created us, he created us in his image. And it is through the presence of the Holy Spirit, which we have lost from the Garden of Eden, ever since Adam and Eve had chosen to listen to the voice of the power of darkness, they fell into the trap of Satan. And of course, have fallen into the law of sin. And as a result, not only we will suffer physical and spiritual death, we also will always be feeling something that is missing simply because the very moment Adam and Eve have fallen into the law of sin, we become disconnected spiritually. And of course, the Spirit of God is disconnected instantly. For that reason, no matter what we try to fill our hearts with, whether it is with money, with pleasure, with name, with fame, with beauty, whatever you name it, it could never be satisfied. And until and unless the divine peace from the Holy Spirit will be restored in our hearts, until and unless that takes place, we can never be satisfied. For that reason, our Lord Jesus tells us, be very careful of covetousness. You see, it is such a blessing once we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, as He died on the cross and to take away all of our sin and pay all of our sin debt in full. The Holy Spirit will then be sent into our heart, and all of a sudden you will discover that as the Holy Spirit enters into our heart, not only He gives us peace and joy, and of course, the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, which include love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, we will also feel absolute satisfactions in our heart. And on the other hand, the power of darkness that indwell in this carnal sinful nature of ours in carnal flesh will continue to behave in a fashion of what we call greediness or covetousness, and we will continue to lust after many, many things in the world, including the lust in our mind, the lust in our eyes, and of course, and the lust in our mouth, and so on. And what is sad is this lust, which starts from the mind, will continue to stay in our heart. And until and unless we realize the truth from the Word of God, this covetousness will become what we call idolatry. For that reason, the Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, it says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now let us read on to verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Now, my dearly beloved, the whole world aim to be rich. It is very unlikely that people will say, I don't want to be rich, I'd rather be poor, and I'd rather suffer in poverty. That is very, very unlikely. Pretty much, the world works around mammon, and everyone is running after, day in, day out, to make money. And of course, it is only natural for every single human being that is born in this world to want to be rich. Now, let's put it this way. Being rich itself is not a bad thing. In actual fact, the Word of God tells us in Deuteronomy 28, being rich itself is a blessing from the Lord. However, there is a huge difference trying to hoard money and material things and focusing just for the temporal, for yourself, and of course, nothing to do with our Lord Jesus. And as unbelievers, they would hoard all of this money, and at the end of their life, the whole irony is, when they leave, they will leave with nothing. No matter how much they make or no matter how little they make, it is for certain that they come with nothing and they will leave with nothing, just like the Apostle Paul tells us in Timothy 6. Now, being God's children, once we are born again of the Spirit of God, We take possessions from a different point of perceptions. The Word of God tells us when the Lord God blessed us as we obeyed His words, automatically that would also include material blessings, isn't it? But the difference is this. When we are given the blessings of material blessings by our Heavenly Father, we must remember that our position is just but as a housekeeper. Is someone a servant and a slave of our Lord Jesus Christ to look after His possessions, and we are to use according to the touch of the Holy Spirit for the kingdom of heaven. Of course, we do get to enjoy them for ourselves. However, we must be cautious not to resort to the lust of our flesh. We must always give credit and be obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and we must flow richly everything that God has given us for His kingdom. Simply because the first commandment and the greatest commandment of the Lord God tells us we must love Him with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. On that basis, we would flow through the blessings of the Lord because we love Him and because we would like to glorify our Heavenly Father. Now, the problem is this with this rich man. He is rich and all he thinks is just himself. He is so self-centered. And he self-worshipped himself to the point that he forgot to calculate the rest of his eternal life. And as a result, what he did was just to calculate the temporal and forgetting the very fact that he must die someday. For that reason, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, you see, this rich man began to think within himself, saying, what shall I do because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. So the rich man began to plan what to do, forgetting to plan that there is eternal life thereafter, and of course, eternal condemnations thereafter, the lake of fire, if you do not believe in Jesus. And the rich man only focused on the present and on the current and only right now. And he had forgotten to include the factor that there is eternal judgment, there is eternal accountability to our Lord God. And in this world, sad to say, there are many, many unbelievers that live just like this foolish rich man. And so the rich man pulled down his barn and, of course, built greater and bestowed all my fruits and my goods and think of retirement, isn't it? There are many, many people in this world only think of retirement. You see, I'm going to work and then I will retire in 15 years and in 20 years. Now, let me tell you a real story. That is very, very sad. I used to have a UPS driver. And this UPS driver used to tell me, you see, I'm going to retire in 15 years. This is why I work so hard. And every day he would labor just thinking about his retirement. And many times I would persuade him to come to the Lord, but he refused. And so one day he told me that he decided to take to another UPS route. And that is much easier and lighter so that he can go home and enjoy himself, of course, for having more time at home instead of working. Somehow, deep in my spirit, in my heart, I felt that when he is gone from this route, I will never get to see him ever again. I do not know why I feel that way. I guess it was the Holy Spirit that gives me that inkling, gives me that sixth sense and said, this driver, I would never get to see him again once he left this routing. And true enough, one day the new driver took over. And that new driver was extremely pleasant and very eager, of course, to replace the other driver. However, one day this driver disappeared as well. And the next day I asked the driver, what happened to you? Is anything wrong with you? Then he told me the real story. The real story that the other driver, by the name of Vito, killed himself and took a gun and shot himself. And that day, when he committed suicide, this particular new driver, Doug, was extremely sad. And he was very depressed because that was also his good friend. Now, the reason that Vito killed himself is because he lost his job and was laid off because he had some problem physically. Nonetheless, to cut the story short, the question is this. Many, many people, just like Vito, they do not calculate what is life all about. They only look for the temporal and only for the temporal needs, and they forgot to calculate there is much, much greater life thereafter. That is called the eternal life, which is forever and ever and ever. And our Lord Jesus Christ tells us in here, you see, this foolish rich man forgot to calculate the very fact that he would have to die someday, and we don't know that when we will be going to die. You see, many, many times, we assume that we will die when we are old. In actual fact, that is not necessarily true. In the case of Vito, in this case, it is very sad that he refused to live for the eternal, and he refused our Lord Jesus Christ and died in a very, very tragic death before he was even close to retirement. Now, there is another story that I want to share with you. There was a young man that worked in my husband's office. And of course, they worked for a major company. And he was supposed to chair a meeting for the next day. And guess what happened? He had a major accident that night. And in the morning, of course, he was not able to appear to chair for the meeting. And everyone was very shocked to discover that he died tragically as he had a head-on collision with another driver. Now, this young man had barely got married and just had a baby. And of course, it is a very sad story, but stories like this are very common in all parts of the world. Now, let me put it this way for you. If you have heard the stories in my voice, I pray that you would calculate your eternal life apart from your temporal. You said the temporal is amount to nothing when you compare to eternal, simply because eternal is infinity. It is not 1,000, 1 million years or 1 trillion years. It's forever and ever and ever. And temporal, let's assume you can live for 100 or 200 years, it's just like a drop of water, isn't it? If you divide the temporal over infinity, it's equal to zero. It's amount to nothing. For that reason, our Lord Jesus tells us to number one, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these things will be added unto us. Don't worry about getting rich, all the material things. After all, our needs are really limited. We can only sleep on one pillow, sleep on one bed, drive one car. You can only, you know, wear a pair of a shirt and perhaps pants or clothing. You can't have more than that, even if you are rich. It is no point having so much, much money to the point that it is way, way beyond our needs. And what is worst of all is you do not use those riches for God's kingdom. That is absolute tragedy, isn't it? We must never forget to always invest everything for eternity. And our temporal we would never lack. You see, our Heavenly Father is very faithful. Once you become God's children, if you decide to believe in Jesus, our Lord promised us, not only he will take care of our eternal, he will also take care of our temporal. You see, being God's children is such a blessing, isn't it? For that reason, we must constantly learn to pray and ask our Heavenly Father to provide each and every one of our needs. First of all, our spiritual needs. And of course, our temporal needs will automatically be taken care of as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, as God's children, we are not to put our heart and mind on the temporal riches. We must put our heart and mind for the eternal riches. For that reason, the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, I read, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You see, if you behave like this foolish rich man, that only live for yourself, even though you are born again Christians, I can tell you one thing, it will amount to zero when you leave the world, you see. If you live it for Jesus, and you do it on his account, whatever that may be, as the Holy Spirit touch your heart to flow, then go ahead and flow it. Because you know why? That will flow into eternal treasures in heaven. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us not to put the treasure on earth, but rather in heaven. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, many, many people could not overcome the temptations of much riches on earth, and then their heart will be stuck to the things of mammon instead of God. And as a result, many, many times, God would take those mammon away from them in order for them to learn the lesson of clinging unto the Lord. Isn't that something? Now, let me tell you a real story. During Dr. Johnson's time in the 1930s, there's a real story of a rich, we can say, half a millionaire. See, the gentleman is so rich in China. He owns about $500,000, and he puts it in the bank, and he lives a very, very luxurious life, just like this rich man. The only difference is this. He was so rich that he had many concubines, wives and children, of course. And one day, his friend came over to give him the gospel of Jesus Christ, which he refused. He said, I don't need that. What for? I'm rich. I'm enjoying my life. So he rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as a matter of fact, before long, he even made more money out of stocks and bonds and become even richer, from $500,000 to $600,000. However, one day, the bank went crash down and became bankrupt. And as a result, he lost everything that he had in the bank. By the time he became poor, all of his concubines left him, all of his friends left him, and he became so poor that he became a clerk. You see, he became a blue-collar person, very poor, and worked as a clerk, and no friends, no money, no wives, no concubines, everyone left him. However, one day, his old friend came again and gave him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this time, this faithful friend that shared the gospel of Jesus Christ shared with him with all his heart. And this rich man, who now become bankrupt, poor man, decided to accept Jesus Christ as his personal savior. And he began to love our Lord Jesus Christ very much. And one day he met Dr. Johnson. And he told Dr. Johnson, he said, Dr. Johnson, I praise and thank God for taking away all of my possessions in order for me to receive eternal life and his kingdom. I want to thank him for that. Otherwise, I will end up in the lake of fire and, of course, in hell. My dearly beloved, many times God loves us too much. Literally, because eternal life is forever. Would you like to be in the lake of fire under torment forever and ever and ever? And that place is absolutely real, my dearly beloved. It is not a joke. Just like this foolish man, many people, they calculate, they work and they labor and calculate how much they have in the bank, and they forgot to calculate when are they going to go. And this is such an irony because we don't know when we will be going. That time frame goes to the angel of death, you see. And of course, as God's children, our Lord God will tell us when to go. And there are many times that we have forgotten to calculate our time, you see. But the Holy Spirit knows that. I want to share with you one precious testimony. As the Lord led me to preach in one church in the city of Surabaya in Indonesia, this church belonged to a doctor, and his name is Dr. Daniel. And this doctor is extremely precious, and he's a sheep of the Lord. He has beautiful church, and he built it. And instead of investing his money to build a big house for his son, he said he decided to invest it and build a church for the kingdom in heaven. You see, this doctor is a sheep of the Lord. And what is amazing is this. The Holy Spirit has sent me into this church to preach on the pulpit. And for the very first time I preached on the pulpit, the voice of the Lord spoke to me. And as I preached on the top of the pulpit from the podium, the voice of the Lord spoke to me and said, prepare Dr. Daniel to go, for his time is not much left. Preach towards him. And so all of a sudden, the voice of the Lord spoke to me and I began to preach the messages towards Dr. Daniel. And of course, that message, of course, comes from the Holy Spirit. And what is amazing, this doctor is extremely humble, simply because he is the sheep of the Lord. And every preaching, he would stand up to petition for prayer, you see. My dearly beloved, our Heavenly Father knows when his children's time is about to be up. And Dr. Daniel told me personally that he had received much edifications, spiritual edifications, from the preaching that I preach, of course. Approximately 3 years of preaching. As I come to, as a missionary to Indonesia, and visited his church and preached in his church every single year, once a year, 3 years in a row. And that last time was the third year. And this doctor, as he finished his work in the Lord on Sunday, he went home and collapsed in the bathroom, and he was taken by the Lord. And I thought to myself, Lord, your word is absolutely accurate. You see, my dearly beloved, the Lord God knows our timing. Let us all be prepared to go and be prepared to face our Lord, for simply because the Apostle Paul tells us that we all must appear at the judgment seat of Christ. If we are born again Christians, then we must labor for our Lord Jesus Christ. We must labor in his name, and let us labor abundantly, just like the Apostle Paul tells us, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. My dearly beloved, everything else that you labor, apart from in the name of Jesus and for his name's sake, will all go down the drain and will all be in vain. And many times Dr. Johnson would preach and says, working in the north is in vain, working in the south is in vain, working in the east is in vain, and of course, working in the west is also in vain, but working for Jesus is never in vain. For that reason, my dearly beloved, let us never forget to constantly labor for Jesus. So verse 19, it says right here, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? I want to also share with you one precious testimony. There was a gentleman who happened to be my customer when I was in business years ago. And his name was Dale. And this man was a very rich man, and he was a farmer. And one day he called, of course, to place some orders with us. And he began to speak to me. And he said to me, you know, I'm a multi-millionaire, and I'm very healthy, and I'm 50 years old. However, he said, I am not sure that if I die that I would be in heaven. You see, my dearly beloved, many times God would use my mouth to speak to somebody. And most of the time in my business then, I rarely preached the gospel simply because I'm a business person then. I was a business person then. I wasn't a preacher. However, this time, for some reason, the Holy Spirit touched my heart and spoke to Dale and said, Dale, do you not believe in Jesus? You see what the Bible tells us, if you believe Jesus with all of your heart and you confess him as your Lord through your lips, and of course when you confess your sins and accept him as your personal Savior, you will be saved, you see. And so I began to expound the truth to Dale. Even though he was my customer, I began to share the truth with him over the phone. And as a matter of fact, I also sent him some materials, some spiritual materials, in order to help him spiritually. And Dale told me, you know, if my daughter died, because he had a daughter who has got a heart problem and goes in and out of the hospital, and the daughter was 3 years old, and he said, if this daughter of mine died, because she doesn't look as if she can last, because she's got a major heart problem, I think, a hole in the heart or something like that. Nonetheless, he said, when she died, I will go to Africa perhaps to help some missionaries out there. So 2 months down the road, I didn't hear the voice of Dale at all. And one day his wife Clara called. And I said, wait a minute, what is going on here? And your voice sounds familiar. Who are you? And Clara said, well, I am Dale's wife, Clara. I said, what happened to Dale? How is he doing? And his wife said, he's gone and passed away. And I was very shocked to discover that Dale died, because Dale told me he was very, very healthy. And so Clara, his wife, explained to me what exactly happened, that he went out with his wife to have a dinner, and he was about to sit down when they finished dancing with each other, when he collapsed into her arm and passed away. So you see, my dearly beloved, we don't know when we will be gone to be with the Lord. But we know one thing, that whatever we have labored in the name of Jesus would never be in vain. And most of all, never ever got into covetousness, the sins of covetousness. Now the Proverb 23 says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Will thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. You see, my dearly beloved, there are many, many people that are filled with the lies of Satan in their head, thinking that if they get the money, they have everything. What a fallacy, what a lie of Satan. When you get money, it is not everything. On the contrary, the more you get, the hungrier you get. You see, I've got a rich aunt that told me her story. She told me that she went to a casino and she won $15,000 for that day. She was so excited and discovered that that is the easiest way to make money. And so what happened? Then she went back again to the casino hoping to get another $15,000. On the contrary, my dearly beloved, not only she didn't get $15,000, she lost $50,000. You see, the casino would always win simply because each and every one of human beings are filled with covetousness. And that's why the casino is always rich, because every time you win, you will go back out there and try again and you will lose everything. You see, the power of darkness would use covetousness in each and every one of the human heart and control that. For that reason, the more you gamble, the emptier you get. And of course, you got hooked to the gambling. To the sin of gambling. And the sin of gambling is controlled by the power of darkness. Every single sin in this world is controlled by the power of darkness. I've mentioned in the other preaching session, approximately about a couple of years ago, I got to be invited to cast out the power of darkness in one young man's body. This young man was so filled with the power of darkness, it opens my eyes. The Lord opens my eyes to see that as he confessed his sins, he would vomit out one demon. And my eyes was opened by the Lord God to witness this. Simply because one sin, as he confessed it in the name of Jesus, he would throw up one demon. And the next sins he would confess and he would throw up the next demon. And he had so much sin to the point that he began to sweat, perspire. I felt very, very sorry to see him perspiring, sweating, sweats, cold sweats around his face as he threw up his food, every single thing down into the trash can. My dearly beloved, it just dawned on me what our Lord Jesus Christ said. You see, we are all servants of sins until and unless we believe in Jesus. And so the power of darkness indwelt in the heart of sins. For that reason, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he shed his precious blood. You see, and the word of God tells us that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My dearly beloved, never forget John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For that reason, my dearly beloved, I petition before you, if you are not a believer, to come to believe in Jesus and do not live for mammon, because it is all in vain. When you die, you cannot carry it with you. And furthermore, the more you greed for it, the worse it gets. And of course, the power of darkness will begin to fill your heart, and then you'll be very frustrated and dissatisfied. You see, until unless you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will never have joy and peace in your heart, and of course, no satisfaction, you see. simply because God made us in His image and He blew His Spirit into our heart. And once that Spirit gets into our heart, as we believe Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and confess and repent each and every one of our sins, the Holy Spirit will come through. And when the Holy Spirit will come through in our heart, we will experience absolute satisfactions and joy and divine peace. Likewise today, there are many, many those who claim to be believers. I don't know whether you're born again of the Spirit of God. Perhaps you are. But the question is this. What are you laboring for today? Are you laboring simply because for your own flesh, for the lust of your flesh, the lust of your eyes? Is it because you want to get very expensive cars and dresses in order to try to satisfy your own flesh? My dearly beloved, that is not the right direction to take. The Word of God tells us in verse 21, so is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. You see, as born-again Christians, it is our duty. It is our responsibility. And of course, it is our joy and our heart of gratitude and love for the Savior that every single thing that we do, we must first be Christ-centered, not self-centered. Whatever we do, we must do for His name's sake, in the name of Jesus, and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, you see. He bought us with His precious blood, and we are His slave. Let us labor richly towards God, not towards ourselves. My dearly beloved, let me ask you the question. Are you currently laboring for money deep in your heart? Be very honest with me. Are you living for mammon or are you living for Jesus? It's especially once you're born again of the Spirit of God, you must obey the Holy Spirit. The things of mammon defile a person. And if all day long you worry about mammon, may I petition before you to repent of that sin and turn around and ask God for mercy. If you don't have enough, let me put it this way, it's because your sins in your heart. You see, God cannot bless those who walk in disobedience and in covetousness, especially God's children. You see, the things of Achan, the book of Joshua tells us Achan stole those things and hid them. And as a result, the whole Israelites lost the battle. And thousands of men were killed. Even though Joshua instructed Achan and everyone else not to steal. But out of covetousness, Achan took golds and raiments and hid them. And as a result, of course, he suffered the death penalty. Now, Prophet Balaam is the same thing. As God's servant, we must not covet the things of mammon. Those things of mammon has got the power of darkness and it defiles us. Our needs He will provide, for God is always faithful and there is no shadow of turning with Him, and He is our Jehovah Jireh. The Lord always provides our need. He knows our needs. You don't have to worry about it. You would worry most what? Seek first the kingdom of God. Pay attention to that. As we walk in obedience to the voice of the Lord and through His words, of course, and remember His commandment. Our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, if you love me, keep my commandment. As we keep His commandment, the Word of God tells us, eyes have never seen, ears have never heard, neither enter into the heart of men what God hath prepared for them that love Him. You see, my dearly beloved, the Word of God is absolutely true. If we don't seek first the kingdom of God and we seek the material things, then we'll never receive His blessings. No matter what we do, will we always be negative, always wanting, always not enough. But if we seek first the kingdom of God simply because we love Him, all of the blessings will automatically come to us without even you seeking for it. I personally have experienced that in my business. You see, I have labored in my business for 35 years. And I have not only do not make any losses in that 35 years. On the contrary, the Lord have blessed me financially and materially. But what is more important, it is through the business that the Lord God had taught me to depend every single problems through the solutions of coming before the throne of grace on my knees. Every single problem that I encountered, God meant it for me to learn to trust Him by faith and to fight the battle of faith. You see, the Apostle Paul tells us we must never forget to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. That is much more important than all the material things, simply because the material things are only for the temporal. You see, and thereafter, we're going to have to face judgment. And we must never forget to faithfully walk in the Spirit, obeying the Holy Spirit, and faithfully serving our Lord. It doesn't make difference whether it's at home, at school, at play, in the office, wherever you are. Do not forget to be rich towards God. And never ever serve mammon, but rather serve our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us no man can serve two masters. Either you hate one, and of course cling to the other one, and despise one, and of course worship the other one. You see, no man can serve two masters. So even though you can be in church, you could be baptized, you could be born again, but if your heart is still towards the things of mammon, towards the temporal riches instead of towards God, then, my dearly beloved, it is time for you to repent, because otherwise you'll end up still in the lake of fire, believe it or not. You see, the Word of God tells us in the book of Revelations, our Lord Jesus mentioned, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and warmongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You see, covetousness is equivalent. It's the same as the sin of idolatry. Earlier I mentioned in Colossians 3:5, covetousness, which is idolatry, the Apostle Paul says. So if you have covetousness, it writes in here, in Revelation 21:7, verse 7 and 8. Let me repeat verse 8. "But the fearful," are you fearful? Do you have fear in your heart? Do you have worries and stress? You see, "but the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable," referring to the prideful, because one of the seven sins of abominations is pride, "and murderers, and warmongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters," which refers to, of course, covetousness, "and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So, my dearly beloved, pay attention closely to the word of Jesus. Are you fearful? Do you have unbelieving heart? Do you have pride in your heart? You see, until unless you humble yourself like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Doesn't make a difference whether your pastors or preachers, whether you study much in your brain, or having much knowledge in the Bible, or being so-called born again. It doesn't make a difference. The rule of the thumb is, if you're fearful, you're unbelieving, and you're prideful, of course, the abominable, and murderous, which means those who hate. You see, in the kingdom of heaven, if you hate, it is equivalent to the sin of murder. And of course, the warmongers, those who commit fornications in their mind, their hearts, and sorcerers, those who play black magic, and so on. And idolaters, you worship yourself, you worship mammon, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. For that reason, my dearly beloved, let us learn to bear the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit by abiding in Him. You see, when we abide in Christ Jesus by remembering His words, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, "If you abide in me, in my words, abide in your heart. Ask what you will, it shall be done unto you." And of course, our prayers will be answered. We will have plenty testimonies, and we will begin bearing fruit, the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit as we obey the Holy Spirit and crucify our flesh. The Apostle Paul tells us, walk in the Spirit and do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And finally, my dearly beloved, do not forget John 15 verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. That's the main purpose why he leaves us on earth, why he chose us to be his children, in order for us to bear fruits and that our fruit should remain. And of course, whatsoever we ask in his name, he will give it to us. And never forget John 15, verse 5. I read, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. You see, my dearly beloved, do not abide outside of Christ. We must constantly abide in him in order for us to be fruitful in Christ Jesus. And as we bear the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, and not walk in our flesh, which means your heart is filled with drunkenness, covetousness, carnality, hatred, anger, craftiness, dishonesty, and so on. All of those things belong to the flesh, and if you walk in your flesh, you're abiding outside of Christ. And you need to quickly repent of your sins and wash them by the precious blood of Jesus and run into the canopy of abiding in Christ Jesus. And as we bear the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, keep in mind, it is our garment, the white raiment that will be given to us someday. In the book of Revelation writes, refers to the acts of saint, which means our nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, which is born by the Holy Spirit as we abide in Christ Jesus and obey the Lord Jesus, and of course obey the Holy Spirit as we crucify our flesh. And finally, I'd like to read you one more verse to conclude this message today. Revelation 3:5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. My dearly beloved, we must overcome the power of darkness. We must overcome our flesh, and we must overcome the covetousness and the foolishness, just like this rich man who is foolish, only wanting and worshipping himself and mammon. That is not going to work. And in that scenario, though born again, his name will be deleted because he did not live a life of victoriousness, but rather a life of absolute flesh and sinfulness and selfishness, of course. Now, my dearly beloved, it is time to part once again. May the Lord richly bless you to remember the story of the foolish rich man who is ungenerous towards God and selfish, of course. And may you always be rich towards God in everything that you do. May you never forget the word of the Apostle Paul when he says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In Jesus' most precious and wonderful name, I ask and pray for. Amen.